Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes here. Want to remind everybody that the Pelicans kick off their regular season tonight against the Chicago Bulls in the Smoothie King Center. Pre-game right here on the Big 870 starts at 6:30, tip-off at 7 p.m. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Fox Sports, also part of the new Gulf Coast Sports Entertainment Network, Jen Hale. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, you know, always for you.
I appreciate it, Jen. Jen, we'll talk a little Pels early. I'm intrigued about the acquisition of Giante Murray and how that's going to make everybody else better, because he's a facilitator. I think that's his role here, and everybody's got, you know, certain jobs to do, but you always have somebody that's got to be the director. Okay, I'm the boss. I'm going to tell you what to do and calm everybody down when things get a little bit upsetting. I think from start to finish, how this is going to work out with Murray, to me, is the biggest intrigue, other than can Zion stay healthy for, you know, most of the season.
Those are my two biggest storylines, followed by where does Brandon Ingram fit into this new rotation. I love starting with Murray. Yes, indeed, a huge pickup for this Pelican squad this offseason. He definitely makes the Pelicans better on both sides of the ball. We're going to talk mostly about his offensive prowess, but Mike, he's a great perimeter defender. He's going to help the Pelicans' defense as well. As far as the offense, though, so many times last year, you saw the Pelicans freeze in those clutch moments, game on the line, last 2 minutes, 1 minute. You got to make a decision. You got to go. You can't hesitate. And they hesitated. They weren't sure where to go with the ball. They weren't the best in executing ATO after timeouts. DeJounte Murray's really going to step that up for the Pelican squad this season. He's the unquestioned leader in that sense, the decision maker. Not only did he have all those years, of course, in Atlanta, the Hawks, alongside Trey, but he also had time with the Spurs and San Antonio under Pop. I think he's going to be a clutch decision maker for the Pelicans this season, and they desperately needed it. Now the question is, since he's filling that role, where do some of these other veterans like CJ and B.I. fit? How do they fit the best?
Well, with CJ, I would think it's best have him coming off the bench, be the sixth guy. That would seem to be a role I think he could embrace and be very good at.
If anybody would, it would be CJ, Mike. I'm curious. I'm so excited about this Pelican squad. As I said, I think they definitely got better this offseason. I hate the way the preseason played out, that Brandon and Zion never got to play together, because, boy, that's just a repeat from last year, right?
Yep.
So little time on task on the court together. I think one of Willie Green's biggest challenges is going to be figuring out what is his starting lineup. And do you stick with one and just say, hey, this is what we do. We do it to an elite level, and we're just going to beat you at it? Or do you change your starting lineup and adjust to your opponents and try to create mismatches? And I think that philosophy, that decision, is a big one for the coaching staff going forward in these next couple of games.
I think it's the latter. I think you adjust game to game on who you play, how you match up. Because I do think it doesn't matter in what sport, if it's basketball or football, it's how you sort of match up. You got to see it up close and personal with Zion at the end of last year until he got hurt. He was a tilt-the-court guy. I mean, and you said, wow, that's what he could really be if he could stay healthy for any length of time. We've seen him in the offseason. He looks like he's in great shape, ready to roll. And listen, if you're sick, you're sick. I mean, that's just part of the gig. But, Jen, I think...
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
It's not an injury, Mike. It's not an injury. That's the good news.
Yeah, and so, hey, you know... okay. We all deal with either kids or grandkids. If they sick, they sick. Okay, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to deal with it. And I look at it with Zion, that if he's healthy and he's in shape, he's one of these guys that if he plays, let's say, 80% of the games, he's a huge impact in 20 of those 80s games. Because of what he can do taking over. I think he can take over a game like very few people can at the NBA level. The big question mark is he available?
Mike, zero doubt about all that. He is an absolute game changer because of how diversified his skill set is. He can be a ball handler. He can play perhaps that center position as well, because that's a big looming question mark for the Pelicans to answer this season. If you do go small, you're probably going to have Herb on their best offensive player. Can Z hold his own defensively? All in all, it's the C word for Z. Consistency. Can he be in there on a regular basis, night in, night out, so the team gets into a rhythm, that they're confident in how to play together and what to expect out of each other, instead of this herky-jerky, oh my gosh, another new starting lineup tonight. Let me feel each other out. You know, we've had one practice all together in a month. I'm not sure what my teammate's going to do. I'm not sure how I should react. You want this to be a well-oiled machine, especially with your starters. You need your starters to be available. The best ability is availability. Z knows that, and he knows he has to be there in the big moments, Mike. He is not happy about not having a postseason appearance and about missing the All-Star festivities so much. It's great, and it's wonderful, and it's exciting for us to talk about, wow, we saw flashes last year of him, and he likes it too. But he knows it doesn't really count when it comes to legacy and his goals of where he wants his career to mean until you do it in prime time in the postseason on a regular basis.
Jen, we'll talk Saints after this question, but I told you this even before the season started, and you got to cover him a couple times, Jaden Daniels. I said he's the most humble superstar I've ever been around. I've been doing this almost 40 years. I mean, he acts like somebody who's like 35 years old. I've been playing 10 or 12 years. His work ethic, his focus on what he has to do, and it looks so easy for him. And you know it's not, but it's the way he handles himself. On the field, off the field. And, okay, I'm just a regular guy. I'm trying to help my team win. I'm going to do whatever I can. You got to see it early with Jaden and just his poise and his calmness in the vortex of the tornado.
Zero doubt, Mike. He certainly is proving to me that he should have been the number one pick. I think he's a shoe-in favorite as long as he can get healthy, stay healthy, for Rookie of the Year. His poise is so incredible, and his work ethic. When you talk to him, when you watch him, when you absorb his routine on a daily basis, you feel like you're talking to a Drew Brees type, a wily veteran who's been battle-tested and knows the ins and outs. He's at that facility at 4 a.m., he's already done his workout, finished by 6 a.m. He's in there meetings with his offensive coordinator and his quarterback coach starting at 6:30. He lives, eats, sleeps, breathes football. And a story I love, because I have gotten to cover him now. I've had three of his games already this season, which has been a lot of fun. It's something he started back at LSU, and he really credits helping his Heisman campaign. He trains with a virtual reality headset, and this isn't just a normal VR headset. It's this technology out of Germany, state-of-the-art, and they put in all of the commander's play calls, the exact verbiage. They customize the session with the opponent for that week, right down to the colors of the stadium, the outline of the field. And Jaden trains on this an extra 2 or 3 hours a night at home once he's done with practice, done at the facility. And I think that just shows what type of commitment he has to finding alternative ways to augment what he's already doing on the field, especially in a way that doesn't tax his body any more than he already has to.
With the Saints yesterday, came up with an extension for Alvin Kamara. In my opinion, you had to do it. Jen, okay, I understand 29-year-old running backs. I get that. But this team doesn't have many playmakers right now on the offensive side of football. And we saw early on, and he said today, I've been playing with a broken hand. That happened against the Chiefs. And he's got broken ribs. All this stuff about they ain't as tough as they used to. I'm not real sure about all that for some guys. That maybe is the case in some cases, but you got to look at it individually. What he brings to this football team, okay, you could have done like what the Titans did with Hopkins. You got a middle-round pick. In exchange for him. That's what you were going to probably get. That's probably what was offered because they want to make a bargain basement deal with you. They don't want to give up nothing in exchange for a guy who is certainly in the fall years of his playing career. as a running back, but he's still got some football juice in him. You could tell when he was healthy early in the season and when he had an offensive line that was blocking, he was really good. And I mean really, really good.
He's got a lot of football juice left, Mike. I understand the adage, the rule about running backs, but there are those who defy the expectations, defy the odds, and I think Alvin is certainly going to be one of them. He's been the most trusted, most reliable weapon the Saints have offensively, and he'll fight through those injuries. You got to have that locker room guy who sets the tone, who does the stuff that other guys won't do so that they follow you. I absolutely think it was the right decision, unequivocally, no doubt about it. And look, this offense desperately needs him. They need an anchor piece like that. Losing five in a row, not good. They're finally getting some pieces back starting this week and hopefully more next week. Can some of the other teams in the NFC South experience some drop-off, and can the Saints recapture that magic from weeks one and two? I don't think you can if you don't have Samara, and I think it was an excellent decision by the Saints front office.
You look at the Bucs today in maybe a 72-hour period, because I picked the Bucs to win the South. I think that I really thought that they had a team set up to win it again. You lose Chris Godwin, who is such a huge piece of the puzzle there. And now Mike Evans is going to miss 4 weeks. Okay, I hear all this. Oh, well, the next guy, next man up. Okay, that's great for the locker room. And that's coaches talk. That ain't reality. There's no Chris Godwin unless you trade for one. There's no Mike Evans unless you go out and get one. There's nobody on the bench that's even close to those two guys. Those injuries, along with maybe you getting healthy a little bit, but you got to stop the run. I think that's been the surprising thing. The Saints haven't had a ton of injuries on the defensive side of football. Jen, they've been gashed the last couple weeks running the football. And that's bad football when you can't stop the run. Because I know one thing. I do know one thing about Harbaugh. He's watched that film like we all have. Man, he's going to hit you with a tablespoon of the running game and two tablespoons if he can to run the football. And this team with the Chargers, they haven't scored a touchdown in their last 16 possessions offensively. And they are 7.5-point favorite over the Saints.
Perfect time for an upset, number one. Number two, do you know how demoralizing it is when you can't stop the run? It brings your whole squad crashing down, your confidence level. That's something the defense, DA, he's got to get in there and figure out how to fix some of that stuff. And with the weapons they have, they've got to make some tweaks. And getting healthier will certainly help. But you got to man up and handle business, because you can't, especially when you're down Derek Carr, you can't just let the opposing offense score at will. And the Chargers might not be great, but unfortunately, I think as we saw Thursday night, it doesn't take a great squad right now to take advantage of the Saints by any stretch. And the Chargers coming off that loss to the Arizona Cardinals, walk-off field goal, they're going to be hungry. They're going to be looking for some redemption. And Harbaugh's just crazy enough to be able to use that to motivate that squad to come out swinging.
Yeah, I expect that first number at least will be 3. On the running attempts. It'll be 30-something, and it could actually be a 4 before it's over with if you can't stop it. Jen, you have the Dolphins-Cardinals this weekend. Kind of give us a little bit of an update on what's happening with Tua. That team has totally unraveled since he went down to the head injury, and we were kind of texting one another last night about it. Man, I worry about his long-term health because I've seen players that – had numerous concussions and what it can cause later on in life. That's the storyline in Miami right now. Now, they got, if he's back in the lineup and you can protect him, they are explosive. With Jalen Waddle, with Tyreek Hill, I don't know about Achane if he's going to be back or not, but I know how fast he can run if he gets a little bit of a hole. That is a huge storyline, not only because of Tua's talent, but what has happened to that team since the head injury?
Mike, to me, the phrase that you just said, if you can protect him, and I'll take it a step further, if he can protect himself. Three documented concussions in the last 2 years, that is that's seriously significant. You know, there's a lot of research out there that suggests he should hang it up now. He should, you know, think of himself for the long term, the long run. But he was back out at practice today. I just got off some Zooms with the Dolphins just a few minutes ago. He looked good in practice. He was limited. He's not going to wear the Guardian cap helmet, but he is wearing the safest, most protective helmet that's not the soft shell that a quarterback can wear. To me, he has got to play smart, not just brave. And you got to know when to slide. You got to know how to protect yourself when those defenders are coming at you. And yeah, it does scare me for him. But this Dolphins squad needs him. He wants to be out there for him. Question mark to some extent. Still, they haven't declared he'll play Sunday. Certainly, today was a huge step in that direction. And Tyreek Hill, you know, he isn't one to mince words or to be demure, shall we say. And he was doing a press availability after practice today, and he was telling fantasy owners to effing start him. He's ready to go. He had some really nice production the first 2 weeks with Tua. He hasn't scored a touchdown since Tua went out. So you know his teammates are pushing Tua as well, that they need him. The Dolphins, they didn't really have a good plan at backup quarterback. They've played three different ones since Tua went out, which certainly has contributed to that unraveling you talked about. They didn't have a real solid plan B in place. They've been searching for answers. So if I were a betting girl, I would think Tua's going to be back this Sunday. I'm excited to be on the field for that game, see how he looks. See what he's learned. I remember interviewing RG3 back in the day, and it was kind of a similar story. He had several major concussion injuries in a short amount of time, and it was like, look, what have you learned about when to slide, when not to play the hero, when to remember availability is the best ability, especially if you've already got the first down type of a deal. So, yeah, that's going to be a major storyline for the entire NFL if Tua goes on Sunday.
Yeah, Jen, they didn't have a plan B. They had a plan Z. And it was way down the list.
B1, B2, and B3.
Yeah.
None of them were good.
That wasn't going to work. They were El Lazio. Jen, thanks so much for joining us. But before I let you go, I know it's a little bit away, but you're having your sideline pass Christmas event. And so any kind of details you can give us about that, I know we'll get you on a few more times before then. But tell us a little bit about and where it's going to be held also.
Yes, thank you, Mike. You're always so awesome about supporting this. It's our 10th annual, I can't believe it's been 10 years, 10th annual holiday and gift toy drive. So basically, this is where we collect toy donations for kids living in group foster care homes and shelters, because a lot of times they don't get a Christmas other than this type of event. And every kid should have something to open on Christmas morning, right, no matter the age. So Gail Benson has been an awesome partner with us through the years. And just like she did last year, she's opening up the Saints indoor practice facility to us to host the event, which is going to be really awesome for fans because they're in the process of renovating it. So this is going to be the first public event since the renovation. So you can see everything they've done, the new glass cafeteria that overlooks the practice facility, the observation deck up top. Friday, December 6th, everybody mark their calendars. And it's going to be, because we have so much space, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to have one half of the field for kids, all sorts of games, activities, challenges, crafts. We're going to have Saints and Pelicans alums out there doing skills challenges and clinics. And then the other half of the field, we're going to have more for adults, you know, a VIP area for adults with Christmas cocktails and entertainment. And then for our sponsors, that glass observation deck above the cafeteria, that's going to be available for them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets will be available on the website coming up in the next couple weeks, sidelinepass.org.
Jen, thanks so much for joining us. You always do great work for the community, and I mean that. You don't have to, but you do, and you do a great job. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate you, my friend.
All righty. That's Jen Hale from Fox Sports, also involved now with the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. I think she'll be doing some television for that network, and got her schedule so busy she couldn't do the sidelines anymore for the Pelicans. Andrew Lopez takes over there.